Well, good evening and Merry Christmas, everybody. Can you believe it actually is Christmas again? It is like we've been building toward it and building toward it, and now it's here and it seems surprising somehow. I'm not exactly sure how. My friends, he has come. That little baby we're remembering the day that he was born. And as we gather here tonight, let us remember the day that we were brought into that family of God as his name was spoken over us. We remember in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have sent your Son into this world so that we can be saved, that he lived that perfect life for us, took our sin upon himself, and paid the penalty of our sin, so that we can live forever with you in heaven. Lord, such an incredible gift. And this gift that began with him being born. Lord, I pray that you would be among us as we celebrate his birth. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit to work in our hearts and minds so that we can better understand and remember the depth of your love. All this, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. Now, my friends, we're going to have the lights turned down so that you can have your candles out as we sing tonight the wonderful carols of Christmas. First scripture reading for tonight is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And the sermon text for this evening is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Already in the very first book of the Bible, we read that there was enmity. It's amazing. In this case, it's enmity between the devil and Eve, but you could tell already as the man and the woman that God had created and placed in the garden after they had sinned, and God came to visit them, and they just blamed everybody for what they had done. You know, Adam looks at God and says, "It's the woman that you gave me." Now, I'm not exactly sure if that sentence is blaming God or Eve, but it's definitely not taking responsibility. That much I know. And then Eve, of course, blames the serpent, and so nobody's taking responsibility for their sin, and you can see how the conflicts have now begun. The thing is that as we know these conflicts have continued, and many of them are in our families, and many of them are among our friends, and we struggle with getting along with people, and so during this Christmas season, occasionally we have people who aren't there, or people who are, but they're not, how can I say, getting along. There's other reasons that people aren't there. Sometimes over the past year, the past years, we've lost loved ones. And when we get together at Christmas time, there's people that we are missing. And it makes us feel strangely alone. We have people who are experiencing empty nests These children that give us so many challenges over the year, when they leave a great big hole in our lives. And then they get connected to some other person who we do like, but they do take our children away from us. And our kids spend Christmas with some other family, and it leaves us feeling a bit alone. And sometimes it's not even the person, you know, a person being gone that makes us feel alone. Sometimes it's just there's that thing that is coming in the near future, that thing that bothers us, that thing that is imposing. Maybe it's surgery, maybe it's a new job, maybe it's moving, maybe it's selling the house and buying another. Maybe it's, you know, whatever kind of thing that is sitting out there that we are going to have to deal with. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, we wake up and we think about this thing, and it makes us feel very alone at 2 o'clock in the morning as we're trying to figure this thing out. And we have a God who tells us that there is a child, and that child was born to us, and that child is to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the question is, how does this God with us help us with all these lonely feelings that we have? How does it help us? Well, let me tell you how it starts. Jesus was born on that first Christmas, and don't underestimate exactly what happened. God became flesh. The word of God that through which all things were created in that first book of Genesis became flesh and lived among us. God became man, which means God understands what we are going through, because Jesus went through all the same things that we struggle through. You know, if you look at Jesus, at the Gospels, you're reading along and you have Joseph who's there at the birth of Jesus, right? And you have Joseph who is there when Jesus is presented at the temple, and Simeon, comes into contact with this Savior that he has been waiting for. And you hear of Joseph, but then all of a sudden, you don't hear about Joseph anymore. And in the middle of Jesus' ministry, Jesus goes back to Nazareth, and he is speaking, and he is doing ministry, and all of a sudden the family of Jesus is referred to as who? Mary and Jesus' brothers. Well, what happened to Joseph? Well, you know what happened to Joseph? He died. Well, do you think that Jesus grieved that? Do you think that that was a difficult thing for him? Do you think that he missed this man that raised him and this man that taught him to be a carpenter? Yeah. Jesus was also in contact with other people's grief as well. I mean, there was the time that Jesus was in Jerusalem and his friend, Lazarus died. Lazarus died, and Jesus goes to visit, and by the time he gets there, Lazarus is dead, and Mary and Martha, two of his really dear friends, come out and say, if you only would have come earlier, you could have healed him, but now he is dead. And they wept. And you know what the Bible says that Jesus did? He cried with them. Did Jesus know grief? You know, there's another thing that Jesus knew, and that's the whole idea of dreading something coming in the future. You know that? Remember the prayer in Gethsemane? Jesus is getting ready to go and be betrayed and have the mock trial and be crucified for us and for our sin, and he knows what's coming. And he's dreading it. And you can see it in the prayer, because in the prayer, he's dealing with the things that are the most important, the things that are the closest to his heart. And so who does he pray for? First, he prays for his own disciples. Then he prays for us. And then he prays for himself. And he prays to the Father, Lord, if there's any other way, if this cup can pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. He prayed this sweating blood. Do you think he understood the idea of dreading what he had to face in the future? Do you think he understands us as we struggle? And we know it because he was born. And he lived as one of us in this world. The last thing is, do you think that God understands our loneliness? Remember one of the last things he said as he hung on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? When Jesus was in the worst place of his life, when he was suffering, when he had the load of the world's sin upon himself, when he was in the middle of carrying our guilt, the Father left him. He carried that burden alone. Do you think God understands loneliness? It's incredible, this idea of Emmanuel, of God with us. And not just God with us, but God among us, God as one of us. God who walked in our shoes, who saw our pain, who felt our pain, who carried the burdens, who understands, who fully gets it. When you pray to God in pain and in hurt, understand you're praying to a God who has been there. But he is not just a man. He is also God. He is God who is able to make changes, able to change things in this world, able to solve our problems, able to calm our fears, able to walk with us. And in fact, he's made several promises to that effect. Once with his disciples, he promised them, hey, don't do anything until I send you the Holy Spirit, because when that Holy Spirit comes, he is going to give you words to say and give you what you need so that you can be my people in this world. Then the other thing he did is right before he ascended into heaven, he told the disciples, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the world. As you go, proclaim my gospel by baptizing and teaching, and I will be with you always. Always. So now look at what this is. This is the God who was born. And while he was on this earth, we knew that he was God with us because we could see him, right? The people who were around could see him. But now, can we see him anymore? But now we have his promise. I will be with you always. And so this God with us thing, this Emmanuel thing that we celebrate at Christmas is not just a passing thing. It's not just a historical event. It's not something that we look back at. It's something that we can grab onto now and have faith in now and trust in now, because we have the word of God himself that he is never going to leave us alone, that we don't need to carry these burdens alone. And the thing is one of the wonderful things that our God has done, because he loves us so much, is that he didn't just gather us individually to himself, but he gathered us to himself as a group, that we are a family of faith here at St. Mark's and with Christians throughout the world, and that we are commanded by God to love one another. It was one of those things that Jesus told his disciples in the upper room right before he went out to that Garden of Gethsemane and had that prayer time. And then what he told his disciples is this: people will know you by how you love each other. Love as I have loved you. Bear each other's burdens. Carry each other's load. If you see a fellow Christian who is struggling, if you see somebody who is burdened, if you see someone who is down, if you see somebody who's alone, if you see somebody burdened or struggling in any way at all, our command from God himself is that we would bear each other's burdens and lift each other up. And this is an exhortation that goes both directions. First of all, if you are burdened, if you are alone, turn to your brothers and sisters in faith, because that's what we're here for. We want to help you. We love you because God loves you, and because God has loved us, we want to carry your burdens and help you. And at the same time, that in the middle of the chaos and busyness of Christmas and all the rest of life, it seems, that we not become so, that we not get such tunnel vision on whatever it is that we're working on, that we miss what other people are struggling with and miss the opportunities to love people in their difficulties. Because when God says, I'll be with you always and I will always provide for you and I will be your comfort, a lot of times what that means is God uses his people to comfort his people. But in this world where there's never going to be a time when we are completely comforted, there's going to be struggles, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be unfairness and so what's God's answer to that? It's this. Jesus came once. And when he came once, he earned forgiveness for all of our sin. But he's promising that he's going to come again. And when he comes again, that's when things get really good. Because that's when everything is set right. That's when creation is reset to the perfect creation that God intended it to be in the first place. That's when the people that God has called to himself, the people that God loved, the people who have faith in him are going to be restored completely to the perfect human nature that he had created and intended us to have in the first place. And we will be restored to all of the saints who have died in the faith before. That all those people, all those empty chairs around our table, the people that aren't there anymore, the people that we miss so badly, we'll be with them again. Everything will be right. And you know, I think a lot of times people like live for retirement. You know that? It's kind of like everybody is trying to get to that day when they don't have to work anymore, as if that is the golden time of your life. Well, let me tell you, that ain't nothing. The golden time is not the time that you don't have to work on this earth. The golden time is the day that we get to live in the presence of our God and King forever, in his perfect place, as his perfect children, perfectly connected and related to all the people around us. This is what it means that Jesus is our Emmanuel, that he is God with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God, a God above all, a God with such power, a God with such ability to change us. And Lord, you have done so. You have, because of what Jesus did on the cross and because of the work of the Holy Spirit, you have changed us and you've given us faith. You have made us your children, your people, people who are filled with your love. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember the great forgiveness that you have earned for us, Lord, but then also to help us to remember that you are with us always, that we will always have comfort in you, and that on the last day we will spend eternity in your presence. All this we pray in your name. Amen. Let's stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, on this Christmas Eve, we thank you for sending your Son into the world that we might live, sending him here so that we could be redeemed, sending him here so that we could have a future with you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in us, Lord, through this faith you have given us. Give us opportunities to serve you. Help us to grow in that faith. Help us, Lord, as we understand better and better what it means that you love us and that we are your children, that we are your hands and your feet in this world, and that you have work for us to do. Lord, I pray that you would guide us, give us wisdom and strength and courage, Lord, in the moment to step out of our comfort zone and do the things that need to be done because of the people that we love. Lord, I thank you so much for the children that you have given our congregation this year, Lord, all these little babies that are in our congregation. I pray, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would continue to keep them healthy and strong, that you would help them to grow into the strong men and women of God that you want them to be. Lord, I pray that you would give their parents wisdom as they learn and as they, so that they are able to pass this faith, Lord, on to their children. Thank you, Lord, for all the children of our congregation, Lord, and the work that you are doing in their lives. Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen the fathers and the families of this congregation, Lord, so that that faith can continue to grow in the next generation and that all of us can continue to serve you together. Lord, I pray especially tonight for Jan Carson's family, Lord, at the death of her brother. It's such a difficult thing, especially around the Christmas season. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to be their strength and be their comfort in this time. Lord, I pray for Matt Gamewell. Lord, that he was in the hospital. Pray, Lord, that he would continue to heal, that he would be able to return home and go back to the life, Lord, that you have given him. Continue to give him strength, Lord, and also strengthen his mother, Alice, Lord, in this, as she supports her son. And Lord, I pray for our friend Matt, Lord, as he is struggling with lung cancer and struggling with finding a job. Lord, I pray that you would just be with him. Give him strength. Help him, Lord. And Lord, help us to love him. Lord, all these things we bring before you this evening because you love us and that you ask us to talk to you. Lord, I pray that you would listen to us and as we pray together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please be seated. My dear friends, it's so good that we are gathered together here and that we are able to celebrate our Lord's birth together. I do wish you all an incredible Merry Christmas as you celebrate with your families. If there's anything left over from the happy birthday Christmas party, the children that are here can grab it on the way out. I have no idea what is left, but there's always something back there. So I'll be out there to greet you as you leave. God's blessings and Merry Christmas.